When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 11 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
There are a lot of foundations. I want you to know the foundation right here is in the Word of God. What if one religious structure, not serious about walking in God's covenant and Word, compares itself to another religious structure, not serious about walking in God's Word? Then where? The blind lead the blind. Where does everybody go? That's where your heart is. Better read your Bible. The Church of Jesus Christ is helped to go together by truth. See, when you justify your own self, and you depart from the Word, that's called apostasy. That is falling away. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you have a reaction here, and you have a reaction here, and you have a reaction here, and you have a reaction, all your heart is gathered around this teaching, this gathered around this teaching, and each one has tunnel vision. This one right here is looking at the Bible from this point of view. This has to read the Bible through these eyes right here. This one has to read the Bible from these eyes right here. This one has to read the Bible from these eyes right here. This can only see the Bible it reads from these. Are you hearing me? You're supposed to look at the Bible from God's point of view. That is righteousness. You see things. And see, listen, let me tell you something. Understanding can only come from you when you see something the way God sees it. That is when revelation comes, when you see something from God's point of view. And as opposite of that is ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, once again, you won't have an understanding, a true understanding, a repentance, covenant, wholeness, righteousness, salvation, discernment, overcoming demons, overcoming the world, overcoming the flesh, deliverance, healing, spiritual gifts, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Those things are all get perverted when we compare ourselves among ourselves, measure ourselves by ourselves. We can't have understanding against it because we're going to compare with them and we watch them pervert it, so we don't have that part to do with the Bible. And all this thing just goes back and forth when God says, beloved, I am the one who wants to lead you in all truth. I am no respecter of any people. And beloved, I want you to know that this word is not for private interpretation. What I show to one, I'll show to anyone else. This is a heart gospel. And I will lead you in all truths. And then when you know, absolutely, it's going to set you free, isn't it? Well, let me ask you something. I told you that the beast and animals, you know, and so forth like that is a type of the powers of darkness. Not in every case, but in other cases, you know, and it's kind of mixed in there. God doesn't make it too plain, yeah, because he wants you to have the Spirit of God and be a disciple before you can see it. Isn't that right? So, what would be the opposite of the mind of Christ? Let me tell you. A harlot's forehead. That's exactly right. We got just a little time. Let's just have a glance at Babylon. You won't speculate tonight if we just look at a little of it and finish it tomorrow, will you? All right. Everybody has to go home with him. Revelation 17. Now, you don't have any problem knowing that when he uses the word mother, it's a type for the church. Is that right? It's a type of the church. Because the mother, now don't you miss this. If you found a Revelation verse, I'd sure like for you to look up here because I'm going to be talking a little bit. You might not find what I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell you which verse it is until I get through. Now, that's what happens when you start painting. You know, Psalm said painting. That's the most blessed thing to see someone when they start, the Lord just starts ministering to them, the Spirit of God showing them things and work, and they start leaning forward in their chair. They're about to fall in a hurry. Like birds. Well, that's wonderful. But anyway, the bride is the mother, and she's the one. She's the bride of Christ. He's a groom, and the church gives birth. Now, do you give birth to saints? Or a church can give birth to what? Harlots. Harlots. Now, Babylon gives birth to harlots because she's the world's in this church. She does. And Babylon's making a name for herself. Boast. She wants glory for herself, and she has... She produces harlots. She doesn't produce disciples. Let's look over, and I was going to just say five, but I'm going to back up. No, let's start in verse 1. I was going to say five, but I'm going to add 1 and 2. We'll do that. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, and I'll show you the judgment of who? Great harlot who sits on many waters, and whom the kings of the earth," that's the leaders of the world, "commit acts of what?" It takes two to commit immorality. You know that, don't you? "And those who dwell on the earth were" what? "Oh, made drunk with" the what? "The wine," the teaching of her what? See, this harlot teaches immorality. And look at me. She makes the world drunk with this harlot teaching, and they cannot find the way. Now, verse 5. "And upon her forehead..." There are going to be some marks in the last days, aren't there? "And upon her forehead a name was written." A what? A mystery. "Babylon the Great, the mother," that's a church, "of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." Well, let's just look at her just a little bit over in chapter 18. Let's look at this harlot church. We're going to look at her a lot more tomorrow. Revelation 18, verse 2. "And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon." There's the harlot. She has become a dwelling place of who? Well, there they are. A dwelling place of demons. And this whore church has become a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird because their hearts are in agreement with them. They're living after the lust of the flesh. Worldly minded. Verse 3. "For all the nations have" what? "They have drunk of the wine," the words, the teaching of what? The passion or immorality. Now, you know what I told you to put on the refrigerator? That those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ have died to passions. Is that correct? Okay. Doesn't sound like they're belonging. But anyway, they have drunk of the teaching of passion and immorality, and the kings, that's the people of the earth, have committed acts of what? Immorality. That means the world out there. The people of the world commit acts of immorality with her, And the merchants of the earth, as the business folks, merchants of the earth, have become rich by the wealth of her fleshly sexuality. Building monuments that you can see with your eyes. She was building up instead of building up this temple. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Cry to her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins. And that you may not," what? "Receive of her plagues." This church, who does all this sensuality, just loves to make a name for herself. That's what she's doing, making a name for herself. Now, if you look at it right there in verse 7, "To the degree that she glorifies" who? She glorifies her church. "To the degree that she glorifies her church and lives" what? "Sensuously." That's where false teachers and false prophets come from. Live sensually. "To the same degree, sicker, give her a torment and mourning." Folks, there's just no real telling where we are right now, are we, in respect to Revelation? "For this whore harlot," right here says, "I sit as a queen." Look at me. She's saying it in her heart. Jesus is the king, and I'm queen. I'm the bride. She's saying it in her heart. Do you see that right there? Do you see that right there? I want you to see that. I want you to circle it. She's saying it right in here. She believes in her heart that she is the queen. She's saying it in her heart. "I sit as a queen. I am not a" what? Look at me. I'm married to Jesus. I'm not a widow. I'm the bride. I'm not lost. She's saying it in her heart. But she is. Deceived. She's a harlot. It's not good, by the way, to be a harlot. So, verse 8, "For this reason, she glorifies herself. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come." Are you in Revelation now, aren't you? Her plagues are going to come. "Pestilence," and there it is, "mourning, and famine." You know, that's not a famine of, you know, while a bunch of guts might be hanging over the belt, there'll be a famine of the different kind of bread. Why are you looking for the supermarket's empty out? The spiritual bread is shut off. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. No understanding is shut off. "And she will be burned up with" what? Now, I want you to know that is the powers of darkness right there. You remember how we used to get this kind of vision in our mind and see Rome burning? Where the Catholic Church was, we'd see the city, and burn down all those beautiful buildings. Now, I wish I could pursue that. We're 10 today, but I'm just going to, and I'll have to tie that together. You won't have any problem with it when we get through. Now, I'm leaving you at a place right here. We do have some more scripture left, don't we? Okay. "For the Lord who" what? "Judges her is strong." I want to jump over to chapter 19. I just want to look at something with you. Chapter 19. We look there at the last part of verse 1. "Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." Verse 2. "Because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot." This whore church, it makes a name for herself. who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. Now, please turn back with me to Jeremiah 50, please. Jeremiah 50. We're going to look at Babylon a little bit, folks. When we start reading through these things, I'm having to skip a lot of scripture because of time. I can't read the whole Bible. You understand what I mean? So you come back where you see these things, and it's perfectly all right for you just to, just to carry it on through because you're going to have time to do it. Read your Bible. It's good. Now, there's two things I want you to try to understand until I can pursue this tomorrow. First, for any of you that haven't already come to this place to understand that a good time, part of the time, or most of the time, that this word right here, not every time, it is referring to lions, or young lions, or wolves, that's as far as I'll go in the beast right there, is talking about the powers of darkness, the enemy. Now, I want you to understand that. Now, the second thing is the fact that I hadn't been able to pursue that, and it's the end of the day. See, you have to be wise as a serpent, you understand? And I don't want to drop something on you right here kind of unfinished, because when you go home, they're going to start talking to you and they'll start building this thing, and they want to get you on a telephone and see you take notes of everything he said, it don't fix in the, fit in a box and report. And then see what happens when you just see you're not hearing all of it, see? And I don't want you to be careful, guard against it till I get finished on it in. There's a problem that you can't go three straight days together. And we're working through here these 3 days is controversial. The word Jesus is controversial. Do you understand that? His word is controversial. And so we're dealing with some things here that won't fit in the box. What did he say? Get rid of the box? Okay. Let's look at Babylon. Now you got the fire and you got the demons for the lions, right? I've never had so much encouragement in my life. Well, only the Lord can cause these things to happen. You know that. Well, I'm glad you're not snarling at me. All right, Jeremiah 50, verse 2. We're going to see it. We're just going far enough to see we're talking about Babylon, then we're going to go on. Verse 2, declare and proclaim among the nations, proclaiming and lift up a standard. Do not conceal it, but say, Babylon has been captured. Now let's go to verse 6 and we're going to look at Babylon. My people have become what? They're lost sheep. They've fallen away. Their shepherds have led them where? Led them astray. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. They have gone along the mountain to the hill, and they've forgotten their what? Where's your resting place at, folks? I mean, it's all him. Same. Now, let's look in verse 15. Raise up your battle cry against her on every side. She has given herself up. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls, those whitewashed walls again, have been torn down. For this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. As she's done to others, so do to her. Now, I want to ask you something. What is vengeance? Now, let me show you something, folks. There's blessings of God for those who walk in covenant. There are other side of that is curses. Demons are not blessings. And that is vengeance for the covenant. Now, folks, I better not say it. We're not quite there. We're going home right now. I'd have to just pursue that some more. All right, there's vengeance of God for the covenant. That's vengeance of the ones who will not let God direct their lives. Amen? Okay. Now, let's go to verse 50. We went to 50. We left 15. Now, let's go to verse 20. Let's go to verse 28. There is a sound of fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon. There's that whore church. To declare in Zion, the church, the vengeance of the Lord our God. Vengeance for His what? His temple, which been defiled. And we'll go on to see that. Let's look in 34. The Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is His name. Wonder who He is. He will vigorously blade their case. That's the Zion, Israel. So that He may bring what? Bring turmoil to the inhabitants of the whore church. Wonder who this Redeemer who pleads a case is there. Do you have any idea? Verse 36, a sword against these oracle word preachers, and they'll become fools. A sword against their mighty men, and they'll be shattered. Verse 38, a drought on their waters. There's a famine of the word. The drought of the waters right there is a famine of the word. The drought on their waters, and they'll be dried up. That's the word dried up. Ever learning, no understanding, for it is a land of idols. Their hearts go after their works of their hands. They're making a name for themselves, and they're mad over their fearsome idols. Let's go to 51. Verse 6. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment, for this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He is going to render recompense to her. Verse 11. Sharpen the arrows. Don't you want me to tell you who the Lord's arrows are? The Lord's arrows are the powers of darkness. Sharpen the arrows. Fill the quiver of the Lord's. Has aroused the spirits of the kings of the Medes, because His purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is a vengeance of the Lord. Vengeance for His temple, which has been given over to the powers of darkness. Verse 14, the Lord of hosts has sworn by Himself, surely I'm going to fill you with a population like what? You ever read about some of those locusts over in Revelation? Folks, I wish I had time to get in some things with you. Nahum, Joel, the minor prophets. And you'd be most astonished. Now, I can't do all those things tomorrow, but I'll tell you what, we're going to get some more. We'll let you kind of go back over this, and then we'll crank up again. And I'm going to fill you the population like locusts, and they'll cry out with shouts of victory over you. Can I tell you what these locusts are? Let me just go ahead and tell you. It's them. Now verse 20. Here's something He says about them. And He says, you are my war club, my weapon of war. That's the powers of darkness. Isn't that interesting? You're my weapon of war. Just turn them loose. Only thing they know is kill, steal, and destroy. You're my weapons of war. Hey, do you remember that the Lord said, who will be a deceiving, what deceiving spirit can I go to? He's still in charge of them. He hadn't lost control. He says, you're my war club, you powers of darkness, my weapons of war, and with you I shatter nations, and with you I destroy kingdoms. And with you I'll shatter the horse and his rider. Now let me tell you something about 21. You know what? Let me tell you something. That's those who follow the flesh. You know what the horse represents? Flesh. And those that ride it is the one that follow it. You're looking at me funny. Let's look. Turn back to Isaiah 31. Hold your place there. Isaiah 31. Now, are you there? Now, you're going to hold your place. We're going back to Isaiah 31. I just want to show you just a part right here. Now, in 31, I hadn't planned on coming here, but this is another Jesus. And his rock, that's his Jesus, will pass away because of panic. And his princes, that's his leaders, are going to be terrified at this word, the standard, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Now, this is a people who have another Jesus. Now, that's the way the Lord might want us to just jump over here. It's going to work in here, all right? Let's go back to verse 1 so we see who we're talking to. Now, this is the ones who have another Jesus. Verse 1. Woe to those who go down to what? They go to the world for help and rely on horses. Now, you're going to see right here this horses is flesh. Okay? They rely on horses and they trust in their chariots or carts because they're many. And in horsemen because they're very strong. Just strong flesh. And they do not look to Jesus. They do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Do you see that? They don't seek the Lord. They go after flesh. They go follow his carts and go to the world. You hear me? Now verse 2. Yet he is wise and will bring disaster, and that's what we're reading about. And he does not retract his words. We know his word doesn't return void. And he will arise against the house of evildoers, that's the house of flesh that has another Jesus, and against the help of the workers of iniquity that live by the flesh. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and here it is, and their horses are what? Flesh, and it's not spirit. So that's what they're up there in verse 1. They're relying on the horses. And you'll relate this all over about the horses, fallen horses, flee on horses, fall in the flesh. Let's go just a little more. So the Lord has stretched out his hand, and he who helps, that's the world, will stumble, and he who is helped, that's the whore church there, will fall, and all of them are going to come to an end, what? Together. Now, let me just give you an example about the lion and the young lion right here, and I'll really pursue that tomorrow if you won't speculate about tonight until I can get to tie it together. All right, now, it's going to talk about how shepherds are supposed to stand against the demons right here. Now, this chapter here is about those who have another rock, and they're relying on flesh, they're relying on carts, they're relying on Egypt, the world. Now, let's go in verse 4. Here's the way he wants his shepherds to be. Thus, that's the powers of darkness. They growl over his prey against. Now, circle against. Now, against which a band of shepherds is called out. Shepherds are called out against the powers of darkness. Let me give you a second to look at it. That's what it says. Now, and they're not going to be terrified at their voice or disturbed at their noise when they hear them speaking to some loudmouth woman or some church boss or something. They're not going to be disturbed or terrified about it. They're called out against that sort of thing. Now, so will the Lord of hosts come down to wage war on Mount Zion on its hill like flying birds. So the Lord of hosts will protect the church. He will protect and deliver it. He'll pass over and rescue it. And you're called out against these lions and young lions. They're not going to be terrified or disturbed. Isn't it amazing how the Lord wants us to run over there? Now verse 6. Return to him from whom you've deeply defected, O sons of Israel. For in that day when the people are turning to him, that the men are going to cast away these silver idols and gold out of which your hands has made his sin. And this Syrian, he's going to fall by a sword, not a man. Now this is a curse. And a sword, not a man, is going to devour him. That's the powers of darkness. They're turned loose. That's the vengeance of the Lord. That's a curse. And he will not escape the sword. That's a curse. His young men have become forced laborers. Now when you become forced laborers, that's when the powers of darkness will control your life. You're turned over to them. You're in total darkness. And his rock, that's his Jesus, is going to pass away. He's got another Jesus because of the panic. And his princes, that means the leaders, are going to be terrified at the standard of the word, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Now, where was it? Let's go back over there then. He said, we're back over there in Jeremiah 51. Did I tell you that with these powers of darkness, with these demons, he's going to destroy, I'm going to shatter the horse and rider. That's the horse is the flesh, and the one that's riding and fleeing on it, that's the ones that follow after the flesh. Amen? All right, now, and with you, I'll shatter this chariot, and it's what? Riding on the cart? And with you, demons, I'm going to shatter man and woman. With you, demons, I'm going to shatter the old man and youth. With you, demons, I'm going to shatter the young man, the virgin. And with you, demon, I'm going to shatter the shepherd and his flock. That's Babylon. It's kind of right there, isn't it? 34. Well, you know the earthquake is going to come in the last day. Let me just go ahead and drop it in you. That earthquake is going to come when the Lord turns all the powers of darkness loose, which are is happening right now, to shake foundations. To shake foundations. And everything that's not standing on this, all over in Hebrews 12, it's not standing right here, it's going to come down. Everything that's going to be shaken can come down. That's the earthquake. That's it. Now, see, there'll be things in the natural, there'll be things in the spiritual. While people, now listen to me, are waiting for Russia to gather around flesh Israel, they're not watching this army come around the spiritual Israel, the spiritual Jerusalem. See, always looking somewhere else. Looking at the natural instead of the spiritual. Well, let's look in verse 29. So the land quakes yet once more, and it rises. For the purpose of the Lord against Babylon stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. If you're going to be a great falling away in the last days, folks. Okay, the mighty men of Babylon has ceased fighting. See there. Who's Satan? He's the one that weakens the nations. That's what they come on. They weaken. They just steal all your strength. Folks, are you beginning to notice that there seems to be... You go, but you're still away from your home. People you've known, then kind of go back there a while and see what's happening today, folks. See if it might be a little less laughter, a little less... a lot less gaiety, a lot less smiling. And see, it's just a slow thing, deterioration, and just gloom and sadness and sorrow, and it's just coming down. The mighty men of Babylon, that's his whore church, have ceased fighting. They stay in the strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. They become like women. Now, here it is. Their dwelling places are set on what? Now look here. Here's the dwelling place. It's set on fire. Who's the fire? Powers of darkness. They're set on fire. Now I'll pursue that a lot more. You just remember what I'm telling you. You don't have to receive these things. Don't fault me before I get to finish it, but don't receive it until you see it, my Lord. Okay? Is that all right? Okay. We're not trying to start nothing. Now, the bars of her gates are broken down. See, that means there's no defense. Okay? Now let's look at verse 34. Who's Nebuchadnezzar a type of? The king of Babylon. He's a type of Satan. Has devoured me. He's crushed me. He's set me down like an empty vessel. He's swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with bidelity. And here it comes. He has washed me away. What does that mean? Washed away with what? Absolutely. Let's look at verse 38. Now, this whore church in Babylon, they're going to roar together like what? They're going to act just like the demons. They will growl like the lion cubs. The powers of darkness, they're going to act like them because the manifestation of the spirit of the devil working them, they're going to just act just like them. Now, let's go ahead. Verse 39. When they become heated up, I'll serve them their banquet. I'm going to make them what? There it is. I'm going to make them spiritually blind. Drunk. And it is. They're going to be drunk that they may become jubilant. And they're just going to have all kind of entertainment. And they're just going to sleep. There it is. Or perpetual sleep. And they're not going to wake up, declares the Lord. You see that? point now, let's look in 42. Now, we're looking at the flood. This is a very important scripture because I didn't go through the other parts of Revelation 18 because I hadn't had a chance to pursue some of these things. But look there in verse 42. The sea has come up over the Babylon, this harlot church. Now, what is that sea? It's the flood of words. Are you hearing me? Look at me. It's come up over her head. I mean, she's sunk in it. That's the sea. That's the words that Babylon's in. All right, now. She's come up over Babylon. She has been engulfed with its what? Cumulus waves. Let's look in 45. Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourself. Let's look in verse 50. You who have, each of you save yourself from the fierce anger of the Lord, and you know what follows the anger. 50. You who have escaped the sword, the curse, depart. Do not stay. Remember the Lord from afar, and let Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, come to your mind. We are ashamed because we've heard reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces in 51. For aliens, here they are, that's them, have entered the what? The holy places of the Lord's house. Now see, folks, look at me just a second. Please believe me when I start coming to some of these things late in the evening when it's new. That's just that much of what I can pursue. This is just the beginning of the picture. You know, let me tell you something. Here's what the Lord says. He says, Son of man, you go show the house right here. The house. Now see, the house thinks it looks like that. But the house really is supposed to look like this. And he said, you go over and show the house, this house. Show this house, the temple. And if they're ashamed, it's in Ezekiel 43, which means if they're ashamed, that means they'll repent, change, return, change direction. If they're ashamed, then you go ahead after you showed the house to the house, and then you begin showing them the entrances, the exits. Show them all about the house after they repent. And then show them the law of the house. Because the law of this house is holiness. Now, aliens have entered. Now, where is the holy places of the Lord's house? Do you know that you are lively stones that make up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God? You're living stones. Now, Jesus is a cornerstone. You and I are lively stones that make up a spiritual house. We fit together to make up a spiritual house. You know that? Now, we are the holy places, and aliens have come into these places. Well, they don't get in there unless your hearts... If you're walking here, they're not going to be there. Are you seeing right there? Now here, let me show you something. Now I'm going to have to stop there because I don't want you to miss this, and then I'm going to hurry and get through. This great church is a stumbling block. And this angel is going to take a millstone and throw it in the sea. And he said, the same way this millstone is thrown in the sea, this whore harlot church is going to sink in the words, and it's going to come up over her head of the powers of darkness. Of course, that's just what you read over in Jeremiah 50. Now, let's go on, because I have more to say about that in just a minute. And here goes the entertainment in verse 22. The sound of the harpists and the musicians and the flute players and the plumpers is not going to be heard in you any longer. And here it is. No craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. Now, let me just show you something. What is a craft? The craft. A craftsman is someone in the old, in the older covenant, when they had up the tent of meeting and everything, they were anointed for the gold piece and put the articles in the holy things of the Lord. Wasn't he? All right, now, the craftsman today, are you evangelists? Is in Ephesians 4. Your teachers, your pastors, Now, what they do, they're the ones that build up these living stones, the body of Christ, that it is fit together. Read Ephesians 4. Make yourself a note there. They are the craftsmen today. They are the craftsmen that build up. Now, see what I am? I have a part, and I build up the body of Christ, and the Lord puts it together. Amen? I just got a part. That's all I got, a part. All right. It's all right to have a part, isn't it? Okay. No craftsman, see, is going to be found in you any longer, and the sound of the meal will not be heard in you any longer. That's making your own bread. It's not me going in there. What else right here? The light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer. Does that sound like with the wrong foundation? Does that sound like the sleeping, those virgins right there? They couldn't get inside the door? Huh? They didn't have their lamp went out? Okay. And the voice of the bridegroom, who's that? Jesus. And the voice of bride's not going to be heard in you any longer. There it is. Just a form of godliness. Just go ahead and keep making a name for yourself. Just start dealing with the merchants of the earth, becoming rich in your sensuality, saying in your heart, I'm the queen, Jesus is a king, I'll not be a widow, for your merchants are great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her, this whore church, was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who've been slain on the church. This church is a curse to the whole world. Now, one other place, just a couple of verses, and we'll be through back where we was in Jeremiah 51. Now, I want to just read where I left off right there. Oh, I wish we is tomorrow where we could just keep going. You know, part of this, everything has to be so short. Listen. Isn't it wonderful to find out your attention span is more than 30 minutes? 57. And I'm going to make her princes, that's the leaders, and her wise men, these wise, they're going to be drunk. That's a spirit of sleep. Her governors are perfects and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep, and they're not going to wake up, declares a king, that's the Lord Jesus, whose name is the Lord of hosts. But 58, thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad wall about them, that whitewashed wall, will be completely raised, and her high gates, that's her defense, will be set on fire. Sikkim, the hedges down, so the people are going to what? They toil for nothing, and the nations are going to become exhausted only for fire. Now in 63, as soon as it come about, as soon as you finish reading this scroll here that Jesus said up there in verse 70, 57, as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you're going to tie a stone to it. It could be one of those millstones, probably. You just tie a stone to it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so shall this harlot church sink down. They're not going to rise again because of the calamity that I'm going to bring upon her, and they're going to become all exhausted. There they're turned loose, and your temple, your body, your mind, your will, and it's just like a moth and rottenness. Deterioration and suffering. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah.
This concludes tape number 11. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 12, where this message continues.